It's a Gemara. It's a Mefush Gemara. Daigum Elevi Shezichena. The Gemara says, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Dago, a concern, a matter, melev ish, from the heart of a person, yasicheno. Yasicheno, the Gemara says, can be interpreted in two ways. Either yasicheno, talk it out, get out of your system, get out of your system, speak it out. Once you have processed it verbally, it's fine. Alternatively, you should be masiach taito from it. You should take it, your mind from it. So that's actually the first. Ideally, you should try to just push it away from your mind. Try to. But otherwise, it's a chenel lachem. So that's
possible.
Dago melev ish zichen. It's possible.
So it's not
the
Gemara. It's
possible. Yeah. Two different interpretations in the possible. Yeah. Talking about, I want to share with you interesting thought I just had now on the way. It's pretty much in the schus of the shir. There is the simonim milta. I don't know if you ever thought about it. The simonim that we eat on Rosh Hashanah night. Of course, the rimonim, the apples. One of the most well-known minhagim that we do on Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps the most well-known minhag. The simonim that we eat on the honey. So the truth is that if you think about it, it's a little bit, we're so used to it, right? It's probably the first thing we learn the kids learn about it in kindergarten, never mind reception, to learn about this simonim. And every house has got its own minhagim, but it's really a very bizarre minhag, because it's so not Jewish. It's so not Jewish. You know, we have a simon, and then now we ate the head of the fish, now we're going to be, you know, like the heads. You know, we're going to have Rimonim, now we're going to have lots of mitzvahs. Schosim, Kerimoin. Yeah, but this is very... Where else do you find something so extreme and radical? Skulas is... I know contemporary times we have skulas. How many skulas do we find in the Gemaras? It's not that many. And not so many which are so explicit and so independently standing. You're gonna have a honey, and you're gonna have a sweet year. I mean, come on. What else am I? Not only that, but it seems to be contradicting the chukas agoy. Chukoyim do such thing. Why doesn't a chukas go? Perhaps even more. Tomim tia. We have a mitzvah of tomim tia. You need to be trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be was it me? You know, you've got to be. Oh, very good. So. Yes, it comes from a Gemara, you're right. It comes from a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. That's the Kash is on the Gemara, you're right. We do it because it's an ancient custom and minhag which dates back to the Gemara. But that itself needs to be understood. How come these Amoraim did it? It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara, you're right. Amoraim did it. So how does it make sense? So I think that there's two pshatim in it. One pshat is that really, as you're saying, as Rabbi Tepper suggests, is that really it's all really leading to the tefillas of the Yiratzen. Really, what we're doing is tefillas. Is the Yiratzen sheichadesh aleinu shana tovu mesukah? It's really a tefillah. But in order to do the tefillah with good kavana, have a nice. Now, tefillas go better once you do something, and that's going to trigger you emotional. A mindset to daven with more kavana and more. Enthusiasm and motivation. And when you do that, when you're eating bit, it's going to help you to daven with kavana. So you eat a bit of honey to have kavana for the tefillah of the sweet year. So you're going to eat a bit of fish to shelirosh v'lo nezonov. He's going to visualize. We all know the importance of visualizing. So that's one pshat, and I think Mishnah Berurah learns like that as well. I think it was mashmos. So it's all about tefillah. Reb Shlomo Kluger disagrees. Reb Shlomo Kluger says, you can't be davening when you're eating. Can't do it. Either you're davening or you're eating. Can't be doing both simultaneously. Makes sense? No, the bracha is something else. When it comes to tefillah, it says, "Ein mokem letefillah b'mokem achila." When you're eating, you're eating. You're not davening. Elevating. When you're davening, you're not eating.
You're elevating the
achila. Yeah, okay. So the Rebbe Shlomo Kluger says it doesn't make sense. Either you're eating, you're davening. You can't be doing simultaneously. So he says something else, which I think is very interesting. He says the way it works, if I understand him correctly, he said that it's all about, if I'm understanding Rebbe Shlomo Kluger correctly, it's about having a positive mindset. You know, if you want to have, you want to be positive, you want to do something positive, if you want to have a positive outlook for the next year, You want to be positive. You want to be optimistic. You're going to have the right attitude, the right approach for the next year. Let's do something about it. So it's in the world of bitochen, really. It's in the world of bitochen, whatever bitochen may or may not be. But it's in that world of hoping, aspiring, of having that positive outlook, looking for a better word. Weltanschauung, perhaps, is the word. To have that kind of, what's the right word, Rabbi Yossel? To have that...
philosophy.
Yeah.
Ethos.
That positive outlook and things. So, you know what? We're going to have, of course, it's all in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing it up. And in order to physically do that, we're going to eat something with it. Yeah, it comes with a tefillah, but that's not the main point. It's about having that, you know, if something is going to, we want to start the year with actions that trigger that positive outlook. If that's pshat, then I think it gives us an enormous amount to think about Rosh Hashanah, the way we are meant to approach the Heilige Tag. You know, there is all that din, and of course, there is all that, but at the same time, we find Takin Alocha, he's got to be Yom Tov Tag, you've got to be, you know, you've got to have, you're not allowed to fast Rosh Hashanah, really. And it's all that, in that world, we have to aspire a good year, and you know, that was a tough year, but next year is going to be a good year. And I think that's it's in avoid in the olam ha-machshava. It's avoid in our emotional well-being. I think it's enormously important. That's what I want to share with you. Interesting machlokes of achronim about the Simon Emilzer. Yeah, I think it's important. Fine. Having said that, gentlemen, I want to continue. It's not meant to be private. Yeah. Yeah, good, very good kasha. We don't have on Hashanah generally. Of course, there is a few exceptions. Of Malkeinu, there's a few exceptions on the whole. Yeah, good horror, very good horror. Yeah, very good horror. Yeah. Although in the Musa Sforim, I saw Salanta again just over Shabbos. It does say that one should tack it down private fillers as well, otherwise it's beyond us. For our small generations, he says that for us it's wrong to just to daven about Malchias and in worldly affairs. It's a person has to individualize tefillahs as well. Joseph Salanta speaks about it. Right, okay. I want to go a bit fast because the Simon Tov Kuf Yud, I want to hope to complete Simon Tov Kuf Yud ASAP so we can get to Tov Kuf Yud Aleph, which is about the fire and so let's just get there. Siv Dalet, when Simon Tov Kuf Yud, Siv Dalet, page 252. Okay. So the halach is as follows. Ein toilin ameshamer is beyond the bottom line of page 252. This is, this is a practical application of boireir. You're not allowed to, so the way it worked, as the Mishabu explains, you would have a sieve, a cloth, which would serve as a sieve. The citric acid of the grapes would be left behind. So the way you'd sieve it, would have a cloth, must be quite a thin cloth, and you'd hang it. You're not allowed to make this. So basically, you have this grapes, and you want to sieve it. So you want to have the grape juice and not the citric acid that remains. So that would be done with a very thin cloth material. You're not allowed to make this hanging, to hang this up. Ain't toilna meshameres biyomtiv. You're not allowed to make this hanging. Lesanein to sieve through our shmorim, the remains of citric acid. Avali moisa tlu of ameres, but if it was hanging beforehand, then mutalitin bo shmorim lesanein, then you're allowed to pour it and to do the sieving process. That was fine. It's the hanging which is the issue, not the sieving. The reason being, by hanging it, you are creating an oyel. And that is also, as the Mishnah Berurah says, in the end of Sif Kotten Tezayin, because Avdu Uv Techol is like Uv Techol. So the hanging of this material is the issue, not the sieving, because the sieving is boireir, and boireir is permitted, because it's Ochechol Nefesh. Umarim v'toile oiso, you're allowed to even cheat, and v'toile oiso litin borimoinim, you're allowed to be hanging it up, you know, for pomegranates. So, if you are hanging it up to make making boireir equipment, that's also that's oil that's over the choil. If you are if it was hanging previously, as the Mishnah Berurah says,
in Sifkot Yud Ches, Perish Afim lo yoisotlui mi boidyom, even if he wasn't hanged before that. Yochel harem v'litlois lipmo mitchil rimoinim. If you're doing it for pomegranates, not to sieve pomegranates, just to put pomegranates there, that's fine, that's not over the choil. Once you've got it for rimoinim, then you're not to sieve it for the shmorim. Watch out for additional halachas of sinun on Yom Tov, which are identical to Hilchas Shabbos, Kedis and Shimon Shinu Tes, which is, as discussed in Shimon Tes, truthfully, over there it's talking about Libun, as Mishnah Berurah says, Sifkot and Chof. Okay, Sif, hey, pardon? So with the cling foil, wouldn't be a problem of oil, I imagine. And therefore, it's not over to the chol, therefore, will be fine. This is, as described in Mishneh Berurah, is in Sifkot and Tezayin, Hanushimoyteach, you're tightening it, Pia Meshameres al Gabe Kli Be'igul, V'nasekoy al Chalal al Kli. This is because you've got a barrel, or a keli, which is, yeah, probably a barrel, or quite a substantial barrel, and you're putting this sieve, this material on top, and you're tightening it on the side, thereby you're creating an oil. So your cling foil is not similar because it's not on top of a empty barrel. You're just putting cling foil on top, which is fine. Here, the reason why it's an oil is because you have a halal of three tfachim. You've got a hollow area of, that's what makes it into an oil, and that's why it's not issa. Normally, just putting something on top of wood would be permitted. Seifei, einois in gvino b'yomtev. Making cheese on yomtev is also. How do you make cheese? You're separating, and what else? Boine, yeah, it's boine. It's very much in the world of boine. So you know how to make gvin on Yom Tov, how to make cheese on Yom Tov, and furthermore, in ma'amid in cholob Yom Tov, you know how to make ma'amidim. It's to put the acids there to strengthen it and make it more solid on Yom Tov. That's all. Also, as binyan. Before it was more liquidy, and now it's more solid. Previously, you had something which was liquid, and I've got solid cheese. That creation is binyan. Oh, you're saying oichal nefesh, but it's something which could have been done yesterday.
It's not better if you did it
today. Oh, I don't know. Is it better if you done it? It's only better if you did it yesterday, actually.
Doesn't the Gemara bring somewhere right that binyan, for example, of a sukkah, is not also made to raisa, because there is a binyan in.
Oh, I see. I don't know about that. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. It could very well be. I don't know. It could be. I don't know. I do not know. And over here, it's brought down. It's also als boina.
How long does it take to make cheese?
I don't know. You mean the creation? I don't know. How could you actually make it on Yom Tov and enjoy it on Yom Tov? Good question. I don't know. Yeah. The Mishneh Berurah does point out in Sifkot Chof Aleph, the Gvina Malat Fik Sheishona, all cheese is better. Now, I don't know how old, because the other day I found some mold on the cheese. Don't think that was great. So I don't know how old is good. But generally, yesterday's cheese is better than today's cheese. That's what Mishneh Berurah says. Aged cheese, it is.
Putting in the fridge, you used to kill it. You know?
Really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Opening, serious?
Yeah, putting in the fridge has killed it, yeah.
So it's better to keep it outside. Interesting. I'll try that. I'll send you the bill.
Think of the slice of maturing. It stops it maturing, like wine.
Wine, right. Yeah. Yeah, so
when you get it sliced, you know when you get it ready sliced from the shop? That kills it. With the minute you open it, it's better to get it in a block.
In a block? Yeah, it blocks when that's not yet.
Not in this country. They sell it in slices in this country because we're lazy, but actually much better in a lump. Lasts much longer.
Similarly, you can't make butter from milk on Yom Tov. That's also a similar reason. Butter is also a kind of binyan. It's not hard to, it was liquid and now it's solid. So that creation of the making of butter, do you know how to make butter?
Churn the milk,
yeah. Is it in socks, right? That's how they do.
I think so.
Yeah, they do in sock. Yeah. My mother-in-law, I'm pleased to mention her again. I think she did until fairly. My wife has got clear memories how my mother used to make the butter. She used to make everything at home. One of the many things that my mother-in-law used to make, I think she doesn't anymore, was the butter. They used to make butter. And I think socks come into it somehow. Fresh socks, I imagine. Socks. It has to be socks, isn't it?
Revolting cheese, mashing socks with cheese as well. They're not necessarily socks, but so they.
I think the way you yeah, I have to ask my wife. She'll be able to describe. I think so. It's something got to do with it. I can't ask her. And so that's. But it's good. Binyan Lemaise said that the milk becomes more solid, and that is all also on Yom Tov because it becomes solid, hard, and that's within the category of boiner. Hence, it's also. Right, Sivov moves on to the next topic, which is Goizes. And Goizes in is a Yorg b'misprayim. That's cutting the vegetables. You may not cut the vegetables b'misprayim with designated scissors equipment, which is designated, specific for your vegetables, is also. Because these specific equipments you normally use for. You normally use them for cutting life, growing vegetables, and therefore it's also. So the point being, as the Mishnah says, in Seif Katan Chof Dalet, three lines from the bottom, very wide lines. If you want to cut the parts which are not fresh anymore, you may not use these scissors. And goizim b'tzisporis shalhem, you may not cut it with its scissors. The man to chazi, because the one who looks at you and sees you cutting these vegetables, sovash chot chayoy min amechuba, will think and imagine, hey, look what he's doing. He's cutting with his scissors. So probably he actually cut those vegetables from the ground today. And therefore, it's also. So cutting, making it more, using designated, specific scissors for the vegetables also on Yom Tov. Furthermore, these are also kinds of vegetables. Those you now have to cut. The reason being, Mishtibu sense of cotton chofei, sheish toich batikunon, Vishori, these are types of vegetables which you are allowed to cut. The Mishnah Berurah says Tavakol Tzurichon Nefesh. What in Salatin? What's Salatin? Salads. Yorik v'ma mutal oitzim eimov. You're allowed to squeeze out its water. Is permitted as well. So the point is, the poskim explain. If you're using simple knives, it's fine. If you're using more sophisticated scissors, it's a problem. Why? What's the difference? Why are you allowed to cut your vegetables, your salads? You know the top, which is sometimes not so fresh anymore? You're allowed to cut that off with knives. But if you've got some sophisticated scissors, you wouldn't be allowed to use that. What's the difference? Why? Off, yeah. So the question is, well, that's Urchel Nefesh. You're doing it for physical consumption. What's the difference? The answer is, if you're using a designated keli, there's an element of the choil as well, but more specifically, it looks as, well, if it's got such sophisticated scissors, the bystander, it's a bit nice, and he's going to say, well, he probably cut it from the ground today, and he was over on, and he will assume that you did more than what you're doing now. And that's also, so therefore, if you're using a simple knife, it's permitted. When it comes to the more sophisticated kelim, it's also, as we've seen previously as well. You're right, it goes in the world of Ovdei
D'Chol. Kitchen scissors would not come in that category.
Kitchen scissors.
When we say scissors, I take that to mean something
you use. I was referring to garden scissors. The ones that I use for the lulavim.
Right, something that you use out in the...
Yes. So I suppose kitchen scissors would be fine, yes. Good point. Yeah.
So it's not... They're not... Like on Shabbos, that would probably be more...
Yeah.
Yeah,
for instance, the ones that you're cutting the chickens and stuff. Yeah. Okay. If you're really stuck with... If you end up sometimes using it when you need to cut paper and you sometimes end up using the kitchen scissors, then you probably wouldn't be allowed to. But if you're good about it, then yeah. Seif Ches, Afal B'Shehutro Yitza'ah. Seif Ches touched on the next topic altogether, which we're only touching on now. There is further discussion later on. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating topic. Carrying on Yom Tov. Carrying on, this is such an interesting topic. Carrying on Yom Tov. So, are you allowed to carry on Yom Tov or not? And here, there is the halacha as follows. Afal B'Shehutro Yitza'ah B'Yom Tov. Although carrying on Yom Tov is permitted as a matter of rule, whilst there is some exceptions, even if you don't have it's not necessary. Lo yisa, nevertheless, so we're not going to talk about Hotzo now. It will be discussed Bezer Hashem at a later stage. But what the Shulchan Aruch wants to discuss now is the following. Despite carrying being permitted, you may not carry great loads, heavy loads, like you normally schlep on a regular weekday. So this is very much a continuation of Uf Zechol that we discussed just now. So yes, you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to schlep like you'd schlep on a weekday. In other words, you have to do it in a different way. So what would be an example? Ketzat, what does that refer to? When you are carrying barrels of wine from one place to the next place. Lo yavi aim, do not bring it. Besalav kuparos esoicha aboy chamishukadim. Do not bring these barrels of wine in a basket that normally contains or holds 4 or 5 barrels. Ela, rather, yavim al ksefoy, schlep them on your shoulder. Oy lefonov, or one on top of the other. Echod ishnaim. So do it in a strange way, not a practical way. So normally you'd have a suitable kind of basket that you put a few barrels, a few bottles of wine. That's the way you normally schlep it from one place to the next. Don't do that on Yom Tov. Rather, what you do is put it in a strange way, not a particularly practical way. Take them on your back, put them on your side, take them in one on top of the other, which is not a practical way. That's the way you do it, because that's not Uf to the Choyle. And that's obvious then to you schlepping them for the purpose of Yom Tov. That's only if you are bringing them from one place to the next. Avram is obvious, but within your own house, if you're bringing from one place to the other corner of your house, within the same courtyard, if you're taking from one house to the next, Shari B'cholin is permitted either way, even with these baskets. So Rabbi said, the point over here is, forget about carrying. Let's leave out carrying for now. If you want to schlep barrels of wine or bottles or whatever, don't do it the regular way, because that's over to the chol. You've got to do it in a bizarre way, in a strange way, not a regular way. So the example given over here is, if you normally have like a long, like a tray kind of thing, where you put a few barrels of wine, which is very practical, do that on a regular day, but don't do that on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you have to do it differently because it's over to the Choyl. So even if it's more awkward, that's the way you've got to do it in Yom Tov, because otherwise it's over to the Choyl. Yeah, even if it's more Tircha. So what we've learned this evening, gentlemen, we have covered initially the halachas of the cloth on Yom Tov, which you want to spread over the barrel, the hollow barrel, to do the sieving of the grapes. So that's a problem because of oil. You may not stretch into an oil, but once it's there, if it's standing there from before Yom Tov, you're allowed to sieve through and separate the citric acid to the grapes and the grape juice. We learned also about the issa of creating and making cheese on Yom Tov. Similarly, butter is also to make on Yom Tov. Furthermore, to cut the vegetables in a designated scissors is also as well. And we also learned that on Yom Tov, whilst carrying is generally speaking permitted, however, if you are schlepping loads of drinks or other items, you mustn't do it in the regular way. You've got to do it in an impractical way, because otherwise it would appear as if you're doing it for a week, then instead that would be a problem over to the Chol. These are the halachas we discussed this evening, and tomorrow Mitzvah Shem will continue from here, from Seif Tes. I wish you a very good evening.